Norway. The young man on the deck of the ship gazed eagerly toward the Norwegian coast. His name was Knut Pedersen Hammer. Formerly a minister in a Baptist church in North Dakota, USA, Knut had become one of the Bible students, now known as Jehovah's Witnesses, 1 year before. Now, in 1892, he was coming back to his native country to preach to friends and relatives. The majority of Norway's 2 million inhabitants were members of the Lutheran State Church. Knut was eager to help sincere Norwegians get to know the true God Jehovah, and to help them understand that this loving God does not torment sinners in a burning hell. He also wanted to tell them about Christ's coming thousand-year reign, during which the earth will become a paradise. As the ship approached the coast, Knut scrutinized the contours of this gorgeous land, a long, narrow country with high, snow-covered mountains, deep fjords, and extensive forests. He realized that it would be a challenge to reach the sparsely populated regions that had few roads and bridges. Although many Norwegians lived in expanding cities, others lived in rural areas, in fishing villages, or on the hundreds of islands dotting the coastline. The result of Knut's preaching, as well as the growth of true worship in Norway in the face of daunting challenges, is faith-strengthening and inspiring to God's people everywhere. Kingdom seed bears fruit. Although some in the area of Knut's hometown, Skien, showed interest in his message, he was not able to remain with them, but had to return to his family in the United States. In 1899, however, he traveled to Norway again, this time at the request of Charles T. Russell, who had oversight of the work of the Bible students at the time. Brother Russell wanted Knut to establish a congregation in Norway. Knut brought some copies of the first two volumes of the Millennial Dawn series of books, later called Studies in the Scriptures, which had been translated into Dano-Norwegian. At that time, written Norwegian was similar to Danish, and the publications could be read in both Denmark and Norway. Knut witnessed to many people and placed some books, but after a while he again needed to return to the United States. The following year, Ingebret Andersen, who lived just outside Skien, obtained the book then called The Plan of the Ages, probably one of the copies that Knut had brought to Norway. For a long time, Ingebret had been interested in the second coming of Christ, and now both he and his wife Barta became absorbed in what they read. Soon, Ingebret started to witness to others. He even went to religious meetings to tell people about Christ's thousand-year reign. Later, he visited those who showed interest, and soon there was an active congregation of at least 10 Bible students in Skien. When Knut heard from a relative about the small congregation in Skien, he returned to Norway in 1904 to find Ingebret. Knut stopped a man on the street and asked, "Can you tell me if a man named Ingebret Andersen lives in this area?" "Yes," answered the man. "That's me." Knut was so excited that he opened his suitcase right there in the middle of the street to show Ingebret the books he had brought. Ingebret, of course, was delighted to meet Knut and to see the abundance of literature. Knut eagerly told his Norwegian fellow believers about the organization and the preaching work. By the time he returned to his family, then living in Canada, the Skien congregation had received much encouragement to move ahead. Reaching other parts of Norway. The preaching work in Norway received a welcome boost in 1903 with the arrival of three zealous coal porters, full-time preachers, Fritjof Lindqvist, Victor Felt, and E.R. Gunderson. Fritjof settled in the capital, Christiania, now called Oslo, and in 1904 his home became the office of the Watchtower Society, where literature orders and subscriptions to Zion's Watchtower were processed. Late in 1903, when Brother Gunderson was preaching in Trondheim in central Norway, He witnessed to Lotte Holm, who accepted some literature. Later, she went home to the Narvik area, above the Arctic Circle, and became the first publisher in northern Norway. Afterward, Victor Felt went to Narvik and helped two married couples to become Bible students. They got in touch with Lotte, and soon this small group gathered regularly to study the Bible. Lotte's sister, Halgard, also accepted the truth, and later they both served as zealous pioneers in various parts of Norway. Brothers Felt and Gundersen had particularly good response to their preaching in Bergen in 1904 and 1905. Zion's Watchtower of March 1, 1905 reported, "A prominent preacher of the Free Mission Church of Bergen has become thoroughly grasped by the clear light, and he is now setting forth the full and true gospel to his always large and attentive audiences." That preacher was Theodor Simonsen, who was later expelled from the Free Mission Church for teaching the wonderful new truths he had learned from our publications. The church's loss, however, was the Bible students' gain. Among Jehovah's people, Theodor was much appreciated as a brother and a speaker. Later, he settled in Christiania, where there was a growing congregation of Bible students. The following is from pages 95 and 96 of the printed edition. He poured himself out for Jehovah. Theodor Simonsen, born 1864, Bible student from 1905. Profile: a former free mission preacher who became a traveling overseer. When Theodor learned from our publications that the hellfire doctrine is contrary to the Bible, he started to refute the false teaching in his sermons in the Free Mission Church, much to the delight of many in his audience. But one day, after he gave a sermon, he was handed a slip of paper that said, "This was your last talk with us." Theodor gave this last talk at the Free Mission Church in 1905, and he became a Bible student that same year. Afterward, he gave countless talks to hundreds of appreciative Bible students. Theodor supported his family financially by painting houses, while he devoted his weekends to preaching and teaching. With his excellent Bible knowledge and calm and logical way of speaking, Theodor proved to be an effective teacher. He also had a fine singing voice, and usually introduced and concluded his talks by singing a song to the accompaniment of his zither. In 1919, when his family situation made it possible, he began serving as a traveling overseer. He did so until 1935, visiting congregations in Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. It was exhausting work, which included not only encouraging congregations and isolated groups, but also giving talks in towns where there were no Bible students. To illustrate, on one 12-month trip, he had 190 places to visit between Kristiansand in the south and Tromsø in the north. In those days, traveling overseers stayed in most places no longer than a day or two before traveling to the next stop on whatever transport was available. Even though few of the places he visited had Bible students, many interested people showed up when he gave a public lecture. For example, when he visited Bodø in 1922, he and Anna Andersen, a pioneer who was visiting there at the same time, preached and invited people to a public talk. Two of those who attended his talk, Johan and Olea Bernsten, showed particular interest. After the talk, they invited Theodor and Anna to their home to answer their Bible questions. As a result, the Bernstens became the first Bible students in Bodø. Theodor was used to record most of the phonograph record talks that were produced in Norwegian in the 1930s. He served faithfully until he finished his earthly course in 1955. Returning to the account,